seated, everyone. My mom's favorite verse of scripture from the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Could somebody say amen? Well, let's look to the Word of God quickly today. Psalm 40 will be our scripture reading this morning, just the first three verses. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3 today. Written for the director of music of David, a psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Would you say amen? Amen. This is the pits. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Have you ever said it yourself? Have you ever at least felt it? This is the pits. When somebody says this is the pits, the translation is clear. This is a rotten situation, and I'm stuck down in the middle of it. And everybody who's lived just even a little bit of life knows what it's like to be down in the pits, at least for a season. David writes in Psalm 40 about being trapped down in the midst of a slimy pit full of mud and mire. Now, I've tried to duplicate that as best I could with the picture that is before you today. Can you imagine David down in the pit in the midst of the mud and the mire? Now, we could interpret, I guess, David's report about the pit literally. There were people in the pages of the Bible who were stuck down in a literal pit. Joseph was dropped down into a cistern by his brothers and was eventually sold into slavery from that pit. Daniel was lowered down into a pit filled with lions. You know the rest of that story. Jeremiah is the king of the pit in the Bible. Jeremiah was lowered into a dungeon in chapter 37, and then he was dropped into a cistern in chapter 38, and the Bible says he sank down into the mud. Jeremiah sank down into the mud. He had to be pulled out by a friendly helper who determined to rescue him from that pit. But there's no record in the scriptures of David ever having been trapped in a literal pit. A slimy pit for David must have been some spiritual sinkhole, some spiritual dungeon. It must have been a place of darkness and depression, maybe brought on by some crisis or disappointment. And though it wasn't a literal pit that David was stuck in, it was very, very real. And it was a pit from which David could not escape by his own means. How many of you have learned enough in life to know that sometimes you need help beyond yourself? Well, I think that's perhaps the best lesson anybody could ever learn in life. Because if we're ever going to reach out to God and depend on God and lean on the everlasting arms and hope in God, we're going to have to realize that we find ourselves at times in a place where we cannot deliver or help ourselves. And David found himself in that kind of situation. He was stuck in the mud. And there in the pit, David waited. He waited and waited. He was waiting for God's deliverance. We're going to see that as we look at this psalm a little bit further today. He was waiting on God. Everybody say, waiting on God. Waiting on. That's where we find ourselves many times in life. We're waiting on God. Waiting on God. That's where David's story meets our story. Because sometimes we have waited for God to move in a particular situation, to rescue us, to deliver us, to bring some provision we need. We have waited and waited on God. We don't know the time or the hour or the day or the moment of God's upcoming deliverance. But we wouldn't be waiting if we didn't believe God wasn't going to come through. Amen. Are you here? If we didn't have any confidence in God, we would have given up on that wait a long time ago. But as David is waiting down in the pit for the Lord to deliver, we wait sometimes down in some negative situation for the Lord to come to our rescue. And sometimes we wait and we wonder in frustration, why hasn't the Lord answered me? Why am I still here? Well, I want to encourage you this morning with this word. David did not die in that pit. He was delivered by the hand of God. And David writes his testimony in Psalm 40 for us with some words of hope for those who may have sunk down into a swamp. You know, surviving the pits requires special wisdom and patience and faith. And so I want us to consider this morning how to survive the pit and live to tell about it. How's that for a good lesson this morning? Let's begin by thinking about some perils of the pit, some warnings to those who are in a pit today, or the pits, who are in a negative situation, stuck there. You can't get out. You've tried to get out. You can't get out. You're stuck in a negative situation. Let's think about some potential pitfalls when we think about being down in the pits. David says, I waited. As he's waiting, there is danger. Waiting, think about these seven principles of warning when we're in negative situations. One, waiting can lead to wondering and wandering. Where is God? Why hasn't God answered? Why has God allowed this? Have you ever wondered, why has God allowed this negative situation? Sure you have. Why is this happening to me? Oh, you know, how was I picked for this particular situation? And waiting can lead to wondering and wandering. If we're not careful, our minds can go beyond biblical limitations. Are you listening to me this morning? Sometimes our human fleshly minds can move out beyond biblical limitations and begin to think thoughts that are not healthy or productive and certainly are not correct. Waiting can bring wondering and wandering. Secondly, mystery can lead to misunderstanding. When we don't know the answer to the question why, we begin to misunderstand and assume that we know why, or at least jump to conclusions about why this is happening and why this is happening to me. When we don't know the answer, we begin to speculate, and speculation sometimes can lead to very wrong conclusions. Thirdly, in the midst of the pit, helplessness can lead to hopelessness. I want to say to you this morning that just because you can't help yourself doesn't mean that you don't have hope. Because what we're talking about today is the reality that God is the help that comes beyond our ability, and He is able to pick up where our own ability leaves off. Could you say amen? Yeah. Helplessness can lead to hopelessness. The fourth warning in the pit is that forgetfulness can lead to faithlessness. This happened in the lives of the disciples when they were confronted with a crowd of 4,000 people who needed to be fed, and they asked the question, well, how in the world is this possible, even though last week Jesus broke two pieces of bread and five, or two fishes and five little pieces of bread and fed 5,000 with it. But in such a short time, they forgot what God did last week. And now they're wondering how God's going to do something today. Who in the house has a record in your life of the touch of God, the blessing of God, the provision of God, the deliverance of God? You have testimonies of how God has come through for you. Let me see your hand. You have God has helped you. All right. If God has helped you in the past, then God is still alive today. But forgetfulness can bring faithlessness. The fifth warning about being in the pit too long is that anxiety can turn to anger. Anger even toward God. Anger can turn to apathy, where you just sort of become numb and back off. And apathy, even for the Christian, can turn to agnostic and atheistic articulations. How's that for a sentence? But the bottom line is this: sometimes when we've waited on the Lord and the Lord has not answered in the way we see fit, we begin to get aggravated and angry at God, and we begin, I use the term we in the sense of general humanity, people begin sometimes to say things like, well, if there really was a God, well, if God was who the Bible says he is, well, if God really did love me, then this, that, and the other. And people begin to make accusations toward God, or at least about God, as if God doesn't hear them. Rather than saying things to God like, well, God, if you're really there, help me. People turn their, listen, they turn their face away from God to somebody else or even into the air, and they speak about God in his presence. Have you ever spoken something to someone else simply so that somebody nearby could hear you? Sure you have. And people turn and it's as if they speak into the air. Well, if there really were a God, they know God is listening. They know God is there. And sometimes in the midst of negative situations, ongoing negatives, people begin to speak out of turn. Now look up at me, everybody. I want you to listen to me this morning. How many of you know that I love you today? Say amen. Yeah. Let me say something to you, and let me correct something that a lot of well-meaning people will sometimes tell you. People will sometimes tell you, well, you can say anything to God. He's big enough. He's got big shoulders. Well, I just want to urge you this morning, don't say just anything spiteful or negative or hateful or mean-spirited toward God. He is your heavenly Father. I said, don't do that. You say, well, the Lord knows how I feel. Sometimes the scriptures would warn us that if we feel in a particular situation, we ought to keep our mouths shut. Are you here? If you thought evil, keep your mouth shut, says the scripture. And sometimes we'd be better if we'd be careful about what we spout off about when it comes to God and his responses. And the reality is God has treated all of us better than we've ever deserved. So don't let somebody convince you, well, you can cuss God out if you want. He can take that. No, that's a bunch of baloney. Look at me. Don't do that. But if we're not careful and we let our minds run away from biblical truth, we can begin to fall into all of that junk. The seventh principle about, the seventh warning really about being in the pit is that sometimes a perceived pit can provide a perfect place for a pretty poisonous pity party. And the reality is sometimes people think they've got it bad when they just weren't able to get their fingernails, you know, polished this week. Are you here? I didn't get my my cafe mocha latte jumbo mumbo this week, so I'm having a bad day. You know, and if we're not careful, as human beings, we can plunge pretty quickly into pity parties. And yes, there are negatives in life, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of blessing from the Lord to hang on to and hold on to and focus on. So be warned when you fall down in some kind of a pit. That this is not some declaration from your pastor of a lack of concern about what we go through in life. Sometimes we go through very difficult situations, and the Lord loves us and he cares for us in the midst of those things. But these are warnings that we need to draw near to God and not run away from God. So there are perils of the pit. What we need in the midst of the pits of life is patience and perspective. That's the second point. Patience and perspective in the pit. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Say that with me today. I waited patiently for the Lord. I want to break that into two pieces this morning and talk about holding on to the Lord. Here's what David says. I waited patiently. I waited patiently. And the reason he's waiting patiently is because he knows the Lord is real and alive. And the reason he's able to wait with patience is because he has hope in the Lord. He has confidence in the Lord. Hold to the Lord, I waited patiently, and hope in the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, the book of Romans chapter 8 tells us that if we really have hope for something, then we'll wait for it patiently. If we really believe it's coming, then that gives us courage to wait, doesn't it? And helps us to bear the load and to bear the situation for us to know there's light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm going to keep on keeping on in the middle of the dark tunnel because I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So when we get ourselves in the middle of a slimy pit, we need patience and perspective. We're waiting on the Lord because we believe the Lord is alive. He's our Father. He's our God. Jesus is our deliverer. He has proved himself to us again and again. We trust in him, and we're going to trust in him until he brings about a change in the situation. Could I have a better amen? God is moving. And as we used to sing in church when I was a kid growing up, the answer is on the way. The answer's on the way. Because I trust in the Lord. Perils of the pit, patience and perspective in the pit. Thirdly, let's talk about what happens as we continue to wait on the Lord. David's testimony was this: when I waited on the Lord, he eventually came to my rescue and pulled me out of the pit. Notice what David says. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Look at what the Lord did for David. He pulled him out of that place. He set him up on a rock. He gave him a firm place to stand. Everybody say, out of the pit. David was in the pit. Now he's out of the pit. God has rescued him. This act in David's life and this testimony brings us to four awarenesses about our God. Here they are. Number one, our Lord is a lover. Notice what David says as he's waiting on the Lord. He turned to me. He turned to me. Out of love, the Lord heard that cry and he turned in my direction. He loves us. We have his attention. Are you here? He is concerned about us. He is watching us. And he turns to look at us wherever we are. God has not lost sight of his children, even in the midst of difficult seasons. Our Lord is a lover. Secondly, our Lord is a listener. He turned to me and heard my cry. Now, we might reverse those things if we were to try to be thinking, trying to think logically for ourselves. We might reverse those things and say, he heard my cry and turned to me. But here in David's testimony, the Lord turned to me and he heard my cry. I'm reminded of the New Testament story of a blind man named Bartimaeus. As Jesus was passing by one day, blind Bartimaeus sat at the roadside begging. And as Jesus passed by, the crowd came to life. And Bartimaeus asked those around him, "What's going on?" And they responded with these words, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And when blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing by, Bartimaeus began to shout out. Do you know what his shout was? "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd around said, "Hush up." But the more they said, "Hush up," the louder Bartimaeus cried, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the Bible says the cry for mercy stopped Jesus in his tracks. He heard the cry of Bartimaeus. He turned and said, "Call him over here." Then notice the crowd changed their tune. The same crowd who was saying, "Hush up," now begin to say, "Cheer up. He's calling you." Blind Bartimaeus found relief and rescue and healing and the opening of his eyes that day because our Lord is a lover and a listener. He hears our cries. He turns to us. The third principle is that our Lord is a lifter. David said, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire." God is the God who has the power to reach down with his mighty long arm down to where we are and pull us up out of that pit and lift us out onto a dry place. I want to say to you this morning, there is nothing too hard for our God. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. He is a lifter. He can lift us up out of that pit and bring us to a brand new place. The fourth point about the Lord we learn from this declaration from David is that our Lord is a landscaper. He is a lover. He is a listener. He is a lifter. And our Lord is a landscaper. Notice what the scripture says. "He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." You know what? One of the most beautiful things about the Lord is that not only can the Lord deliver us from a terrible situation, but he knows how to design a brand new future for us. Are you here? Because sometimes we would think in our humanity, well, you know, if somebody comes out of that mess they're in, they're going to be so messed up, they're going to be so stained, they're going to be so broken, they're going to be so worthless, they're going to be so dysfunctional, they're going to be, you know, the pit that they've been in for so long has destroyed their life, we would say. But our God is able to bring people up out of the pit and bring them into a brand new season of life and a brand new future. He's the God who can heal and restore and deliver. And he is the landscaper who can prepare a brand new place before us so that we can stand firm and stand strong in the grace of God. People counted us out, but thank God, people don't have the last word about us. We are children of a mighty God. Oh, and our God is able to deliver. He is able to save them to the uttermost who come to God by him. That's Jesus. Our Lord is a lover, a listener, a lifter, a landscaper. Look up at me, people of God. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you you have no hope. Our Lord is the God of hope and the God of a new future. And he can pull us out of the pit. The perils of the pit, be careful. We need patience and perspective in the pit. God is able to pull us from the pit. And when we find ourselves having been delivered by the great God of grace and mercy, we need to exercise praise after the pit. Look at the last word. This is a lot. It's three verses of scripture. David writes a lot. David says, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. What do we do when God has delivered us from a pit or from the pits? There are three responses David prescribes. One, we stand and stare at what God has done. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. And as we're standing there on a firm foundation, we just have to take it all in for a moment and look out about around us and say, look what the Lord has done. And eventually we have to say, God did this. When I couldn't help myself, God helped me. Huh? Is that right? We just stand and stare. Our second response from David, we sing the song. He put a new song in my mouth, writes David, a hymn of praise to our God. We sing the song. You say, what song is that? The song of deliverance that the Lord has put in our mouth. You know, we think about David. David was a songwriter. So, you know, I suppose maybe it's even more applicable here to think about David singing a new song that the Lord has put in his mouth, because David was inspired by God to be a songwriter, okay? So God gave him a song, and David sang it out. Isn't that right? In fact, we have a whole book. Most of the book of Psalms are songs, we believe, written by David. Many, many Psalms titled with David's name upon the title of the song. David was a songwriter. And literally, God gave David a new song. But in the spiritual realm, God has given us as his children a new song as well. A song of deliverance. A song of victory. And you know what? It may even be for us a song that we didn't write ourselves, but the Lord gave it to us. Is everybody awake? It may be a new song that God gave to us through Heidi. Are you here this morning? Or through a songwriter. Are you listening? Or through the radio. One day, a couple years ago, Bob came to me and he said, have you heard that new song, Graves into Gardens? And I said, no, but I said, that's a weird title. That's what I said to him. I said, leave it to me, the pastor, to be negative, I guess. He said, have you heard that new song, Graves into Gardens? I said, no, that's a weird title. I don't like that title. That sounds really goofy to me. He said, man, it's a powerful song. I didn't pay one bit of attention to him. I didn't listen to that song. And several weeks later, Heidi came, and here we are on a Sunday morning. Here comes the title screen up there, Graves in the Gardens. And I thought to myself, what a goofy title. A song, Graves in the Gardens. And then she began to sing, and then the congregation like rose up like a mighty lion, beginning to sing that song about the power of our God to turn things around. And the songs, and I got the song too. I began to sing that song. And the Lord puts songs of praise and worship in our hearts. I want to urge, how many of you are children of God this morning? You're a born-again Christian believer. Lift your hand and say amen. If that's you, I want to encourage you. Don't go around singing the songs of the world. Go around singing the songs of praise to the Lord our God. There's just so many great anthems of worship and praise to fill our hearts. David says, he put a new song in my mouth. Whether it's a new song or we think of new and old in our own terminology. You know, some of you think of the songs written by Bill Gaither in 1970. You think, oh, that's an ancient song. How many of you know Christian music has been around for 2,000 years? How many of you know God's music has been around for thousands and thousands of years? Yeah. David's Psalms have been around for 3,000 years. How many of you know that makes Bill Gaither look like a newbie on the scene? And whatever era the song comes from, oh, let's grab hold of the songs of the Lord and sing about what the Lord has done in our lives. Could you say amen? After the pit, we need to praise the Lord. We need to stand and stare. Look at what God has done. We need to sing the songs he puts in our mouths. And we need, thirdly and finally, to share the story. David says, many will see what the Lord has done. They will fear and put their trust in the Lord. We need to testify to others. This is what my God has done in my life. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. This is the story of our salvation. Are you here? As Christians, we were trapped down in the dungeon of sin with no way out. Thank God, Jesus came along, died on the cross for our sins, rose again to be our liberator, and lives today to be our lifter. And he lifts us out of the sinking sand, out of the miry clay of sin, and brings us up to a brand new place in the Lord. And we who were down and out are now up and coming. Amen? Amen? We who were lost and undone are now on the winning side. This is the story of our salvation. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. And these are the stories of our spiritual survival. As the Lord throughout our lives, and we got a lot of long-time Christian believers here, as the Lord throughout our lives has lifted us up out of one negative situation after another, as we've trusted him, as we put our confidence in him. And we just have to say, I'm here today because of what the Lord has done. What a good God we serve. And what a powerful, mighty God he is in our lives. Sometimes we fall into the midst of a deep pit. We think to ourselves, man, this is the pits. This is a bad place to be. But don't give up, Christian friend. God is real. Jesus is alive. He loves you. He's on the scene. He turns to look at you. He hears your cry. He's in the process of lifting you. Hang on to the Lord. and believe that God is going to bring you into one brand new season after another through his grace and through his mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand together, please.